Today's reading is from Mark chapter 11, verses 1 to 11. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord needs it, and will send it back here shortly.'" They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, "What are you doing untying that colt?" They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple courts. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, let's pray together.
Thank you for your word, and thank you for this very important day at the beginning of a very, very important week. And Lord, as we consider these events now, Lord, would you speak to us afresh about what it all means? Would you be at work in our hearts and in our lives, we pray, by your Spirit. Amen. So here we are, somehow at Palm Sunday, the week before Easter. I know lots of us are feeling like it's come around very quickly this year. Is it just me? Easter is very early this year. Can't quite believe it's here already. It's only March. Palm Sunday, for me, is one of the most intriguing days in the church calendar. It's a day that, on the one hand, invites us into this wonderful festivity with shouts of Hosanna and waving of palm branches, as we've had here this morning. If you happen to live somewhere a bit more rural than Richmond, you might even get a live donkey thrown into the mix. Anyone ever been to church on Palm Sunday with a real donkey? No, we're all too London, aren't we? It does happen, I'm told, out in the countryside. It's a day of great joy and celebration. And yet, Palm Sunday holds something of a plot twist in it, doesn't it? Amidst the shouts of praise, we're about to be plunged into Holy Week. And while we know where that's going to end up in a week's time, with even greater joy and celebration than today, there's a road to be travelled in between. One that goes a long way down before it comes back up again. One that, for those who travelled through that first Easter, was full of confusion and turmoil. Now, just to check that everyone is awake this morning, I've got a little quiz for you. It's exciting, isn't it? Can you complete the lyric to this song from 1993? Now, I confess, this is my era. Sorry if it's not yours. Can you complete the lyric to this song? Yes, come on. Brilliant. Good work. What's going on? The song is called What's Up by the Four Non-Blondes, and you apparently all know it really well. I'm impressed. There was also an amazing dance remix. Anyone remember that one? Anyway, the 1990s. It was in the UK charts for quite a while in the glorious 90s. With lots of us, probably on multiple levels. It got me wondering, how many times in a day do we, perhaps maybe not out loud, but think in our heads, what is going on? I think it's one of the first things I think every day when the alarm goes off. I'm not a morning person. What is going on? And once I've had a cup of tea, I'm ready to, you know, think beyond that. It's a question we might ask about plenty of trivial things. Someone hasn't replied to a text or an email. What's going on? The heating doesn't come on when we set it to. What's going on? It's a question we ask about really big things in our lives as well. What's going on? And it's a question I'd love us to hold in our minds as we think about Palm Sunday and look into this account from Mark's Gospel that Val read to us. What's going on? And does anyone actually know what's going on? Let's start with the crowd. The crowd who spread their cloaks on the road, as we've already thought about, something you only did for royalty, which might suggest they do know what's going on. They get that Jesus is a king. They grab the nearest thing they can find to wave in celebration, branches they've cut from the fields, and they shout his praises. Hosanna! That means save us, deliver us. They get what he's come to do, right? Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Do they even get what's to come? Their actions and their words in this moment suggest that they get what's going on. They've understood who he is. They've understood why he's come, what he's going to do. And yet, a week later, those shouts turn to shouts of crucify him. Because they were up for a king, they were up for salvation, they were up for a new kingdom. But what kind of king? What kind of salvation? What kind of kingdom? They've recognized Jesus in this moment as the long-awaited Messiah, but they're still expecting that to mean an earthly ruler who will overthrow the oppression of the Romans with power and might and human force. And when he ends up nailed to a cross, they realize their expectations don't match up and they want nothing more to do with him. It turns out they don't get what's going on. And when that becomes evident, they scarper. Well, what about the disciples? Surely they're the ones who do really get what's going on. Well, they're an interesting bunch, aren't they? At the beginning of our passage, before we've even met the crowds, Jesus has sent two of his disciples off ahead with some very specific instructions, quite intriguing instructions in a way. I can't imagine it was customary to help yourself to a lovely, unridden-looking, nice-looking colt that you find tied up any more than it is now to help yourself to a shiny Tesla that you see parked on the road and like the look of. But, you know, these chaps, they know Jesus. They know he sometimes has unconventional ways of doing things, and they trust him. They have confidence in him to the extent that they go along with his plan. They get the donkey. They have their answer all prepared, ready for when they're questioned. Hey, what are you doing? And it all goes smoothly. So far, so good. They might not entirely know what's going on, but they know Jesus well enough to trust him. To a degree. Now, they're not like the crowd. They're not swept along, crying out for Jesus. Look at each other in bewilderment as they celebrate the Last Supper. And Jesus speaks of what is to come. They protest as he kneels to wash their feet. One of them betrays Jesus. Another denies he ever knew him. They question and they struggle and they go into hiding and they get it all wrong one way or another as their fear and their confusion takes over because they don't entirely get what's going on either. Now, there's one person who knows exactly what's going on in our passage. As Jesus rides into Jerusalem on a donkey, Jesus knows what's going on. Jesus knows exactly what he is doing. It's Jesus who much earlier had set his face towards Jerusalem, knowing what was to come. Just a couple of chapters earlier, in Mark chapter 9, Jesus has tried, and not for the first time, to explain what is going on to his disciples. Verse 31 of Mark 9, he says, "The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. They will kill him, and after 3 days he will rise." But Mark notes in the following verse, they did not understand what he meant and were afraid to ask him about it. Jesus knows exactly what he's doing. And what's more, he knows why he's doing it. The writer to the Hebrews tells us that for the joy that was set before him, Jesus endured the cross, scorning its shame. For the joy that was set before him, the joy of lifting us out of the pit of sin and death, the joy of raising us up to bask in the glory of his light and his love, the joy of drawing us close to him to experience his forgiveness and his healing and his renewal and his transformation. For the joy of that, he endured the cross and scorned its shame. He did it for you, and he did it for me, and he did it for love. Jesus knew exactly what he was doing. And so he comes into Jerusalem riding not on a war horse, but a donkey. Not with an army, but a bunch of slightly muddled up, well-meaning, confused friends. He comes knowing what lies ahead and resolved to walk that path. Really fascinating. Some of the other gospel writers record him going straight to the temple where he turns the tables over. But Mark says he came to the temple courts and he looked around at everything. But since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. If this was to be his moment of decisive military action, then it's a bit of an anticlimax, isn't it? He kind of arrives, has a look around, heads off. You rather get the impression, though, that he knows what he has to do, or perhaps even what must be done to him. And he knows he has to wait for things to unfold. Jesus knows exactly what he's doing. And the wonderful thing is, he still does. Whether we feel like we know what's going on or not. And I will let you into a secret. I think I am more often confused than I am clear about what God is doing. Now, there are those moments when it all makes sense. A bit like when you get new glasses. I don't know if anyone can relate to this. I went to the opticians a few months ago, and I've been slightly long-sighted for all of my life, and my prescription hasn't changed for years and years and years. And I, you know, sat in the chair, did the tests, better or worse, number one, number two. And then she looked at me, she went... And then she looked at her screen, and then she went, "You're 43. It's all downhill from here." I was like, thanks. I mean, make me feel good about myself, why don't you? She might as well have handed me a certificate saying, "Welcome to middle age." Cheers for that. But I tell you what, I got new glasses, and when I put them on, I was like, "Oh, the world is so clear. Everything is so sharp. I can see so much." It was lovely. And there are those moments in our journeys with God where it feels like everything is in focus and we can really see what God is doing and everything makes sense. I remember the few months surrounding Matt and I's coming here feeling a bit like that. We had been having a difficult time and we needed God to do something, and he did, and there were little miracles going on left, right, and centre, and it was extraordinary to be caught up in that, and it was a really faith-building experience for us. And there are those times, hopefully, in our lives, and they're glorious, and we see God working before our eyes. But I'll be honest, though, more often, for me at least, it doesn't feel like that. It doesn't all seem obvious. More often, I find myself saying to God, "What is going on? What are you doing here? God, this doesn't all make sense. I don't quite get it." In the midst of sickness or grief or unemployment or relationship breakdowns or struggles with our mental health, the confusion of life in a world that is messed up and broken so often means we don't get what is going on. And we can find it really hard to see what God is doing. And it's in those times that the invitation to walk with him anyway, to trust in him anyway, really kicks in. And we won't always get it right. Some of us will have moments in our lives when perhaps we can identify a bit with the crowd. We want God to do a certain thing, and he doesn't. And we don't know what to do with that. Perhaps we even question whether we should walk away. If you're in that place this morning, I'd urge you not to. Look closer, step in. Find out what's going on. What is God doing? He's doing something. I'm guessing many of us can relate to the disciples. We're those who really want to trust him. We want to be obedient, even when we don't entirely get what's going on. And we try, and we still find ourselves confused and bogged down by the stuff of life, whether that's within us or happening around us. You know, we want to be devoted, and yet we have doubts. We're worshippers, wholehearted, and we waver, and we want to be faithful, and we fail. And let's remember, that's why Jesus went to the cross. That is why this is going on, whatever is going on. It's because his love and his grace are more than enough to deal with our confusion and our contradictions. Jesus knew what he was doing, and he still does. And if the week ahead teaches us anything, it's that his victory is ultimate, even if it's not always immediate. Palm Sunday invites us to hail Jesus as our King, to lay our coats before him. And I think in some ways that's a metaphor for us laying our lives before him. What do we need to lay before him this morning? Palm Sunday invites us to cry out to the one who came to save us. And it invites us to put our hand into his and trust him. Trust him with everything we've got, even when, and perhaps especially when, we don't know exactly what's going on. Because he does, you know, he knows what's going on a cosmic scale. He's the one who set the galaxies in motion, who has put the universe into order, who is sovereign over all things and knows how it all fits together. He knows what is going on. He also knows it in the minute detail of our lives. He knows, that wonderful psalm reminds us, when we sit and when we rise. He knows our thoughts from afar. He knows our hopes, our dreams, our fears. He knows the stuff that keeps us awake at night, and he knows how it makes us feel. He knows what's going on. And he loves us deeply, and he wants to journey with us. The journey through Holy Week is not a comfortable one, but there is a very bright light at the end of it. And this week, this time, next week, we will remember an empty tomb that tells us that sin is beaten and death is conquered. And that means everything will be set right in the end. His victory is ultimate. He's the King who came to save us. Jesus knew what he was doing on Palm Sunday, even if nobody else quite did. And he knows what he's doing now. So we can put our trust in him. Shall we pray? Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you that you set your face towards Jerusalem. Thank you that for the joy set before you, you were willing to endure the cross. And Lord, as we celebrate this Palm Sunday, Lord, even if the crowds didn't really know what they were singing and shouting that day, Lord, we want to hail you our King. We want to thank you that you are the one who came to save us. We want to thank you that you knew what you were doing then, and you know what you're doing now. And Lord, would you help us to put our trust in you? And Lord, particularly for those of us here this morning who are sitting and wondering what is going on about big things in our lives. Lord, help us to put our hand in yours. Would you build our hope, build our trust, build our confidence in you, the one who saves us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.